and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Please open your copy of the scriptures to the book of 2 Timothy, the little epistle of 2 Timothy. If you're our guest with us today, we are in the middle. Actually, we're just getting started. We're not even in the middle yet. We're still in chapter 1, but we are in a series entitled Passing It On. One of the highest privilege, and I believe ought to be our greatest responsibility, is to be able to pass on that which has been entrusted to us by God to those around us, and especially the next generation. And in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, recognizing that he will soon leave this walk of life and enter into eternity, is grateful for the fact that God has put in his life a young man by the name of Timothy, that he is passing on the faith that has been entrusted to him. And so this morning, as I look at our slide, the screen that Matt has chosen sort of to keep all these thoughts together, we see that young fellow who is, of course, walking on the sand with the older man behind him, probably a great-grandfather. It's interesting that as we come to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 this morning, that we come to that section of the scripture where the Apostle Paul begins to encourage Timothy concerning some things that he needs to remain faithful to, committed to. You know, today is Father's Day, and we said a moment ago, we often say to each other, Happy Father's Day. And I think all of us know, even before I read our scripture this morning, all of us are keenly aware that many of the problems that we're facing as a society, as a people today, is because many children do not have a father in their life. Matter of fact, I was reading yesterday on the plane, as Tim and I were making our way back from the convention, that 25% of all children have no father present in their life at all. Now, the number of children that have fathers in their life, even that other 75%, many of them, if you ask them, would say they wish they didn't have their father in their life. Not because they wouldn't want to say that they do, but because in their lives they do not have that father that has been profitable or helpful or has encouraged or been the person that God would want them to be. So I think it's interesting that we come to this text this morning where we read in verse 13 where Paul, after having those senior moments, we call them, as we gathered together and began to look at this text, in the early portion of 2 Timothy, Paul is thanking God. He's remembering the call of God in his life, the will of God that called him as an apostle, and how he is thankful that God had called him and given him the ministry to which he now is remembering that he is going to be passing along. And in those senior moments, he's so thankful for Timothy. And then last week, we saw in the middle of chapter 2 how that he encourages Timothy not to be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of the Lord himself. Neither of me, Paul says, his servant. Don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner of the gospel. This morning now, he begins to deeply encourage Timothy in some things. Verse 13, he says this, hold fast the form or pattern of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. This you know, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and he found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, thou knowest very well." As I was preparing for this message, I was reading from several different scholars, theologians, many commentaries, and reading through preparation for this message, I just jotted down a few of the notes as we began, if you picked up notes. One of the things that we know as people of God is that throughout the centuries, the gospel has been propagated by men and women who stood steadfast even in their hours of trial. At a time when it would have been easy for them to compromise truth, they stood firm. And then, like what we're seeing today, they encouraged others to follow that pattern. They were focused. They were intentional, desiring to pass on spiritual wisdom to those who would follow them. Now, before I turn to our notes again, let me try to be an encouragement to all men that are here today, if I can, and to women. Matter of fact, these truths, don't, because you're a woman, don't tune me out today. Please don't tune me out. This is for all of us. The title of the message is Spiritual Wisdom, or Wisdom from a Spiritual Father. But it applies to men and women. Many of us have lacked in our life a man, a dad, some even a mother, who were there to make the impact in our lives that we would have desired that they would make. Even in my own life, though I had a dad, my dad, number one, was lost until the few years before he was went to heaven. He did not know how and didn't even desire, really, to have that impact in the lives of his kids. So I could identify with not having someone to pass along those things that I needed in my life, especially spiritual truth. Many of you had mothers the same way. They just didn't do that. But aren't you glad today? Aren't you thankful today that God put in your life someone? They may not be your biological father, but you have a spiritual father who has impacted your life greatly with the things of God. Or spiritual mother. You young ladies may have a woman that is just God put in your life for that very reason, so that he could plant into your heart some things. This is the position. Even though Timothy had a mother and a father, Paul has been placed in his life. And I'm so grateful, and I'll mention some of those perhaps later to you that have made such an impact in my life. There are two things that Paul mentions. There are many others, but I just want to focus on two this morning that he's trying to encourage Timothy to stay committed to as a young man who is going to receive that mantle from Paul, that baton to carry on, to pass it on to him. There are two things that Paul stresses to Timothy here that he needs to be committed to hold on to. Number one, he encourages Timothy to stay committed to the Word of God. In verse 13 and verse 14, he paints this beautiful picture to us of that he has passed already along to Timothy, the Word of Truth, he calls it. He says in verse 13, "Hold fast the pattern or the form of sound words which you've heard from me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "That good thing which was committed unto you," that word committed means has been deposited into your hands, "that which I passed on to you, guard it well." Not only just hold on to it, but guard it well. Stay committed to the Word of God. God has given this deposit of spiritual truth to all of us, and it's our responsibility to guard it well by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we just came, Pastor Tim and I just came back from our Southern Baptist Convention. All of us know something today. All of us as believers know that we are in a great battle as a society. In our own country, there is a real war that is raging. There's a war that is trying to push back against truth. There are those who do not want to hear the Word of God proclaimed as truth. We know that. At our convention, all of our leaders were trying to encourage the convention pastors and those across our convention to do something that every spiritual father or spiritual mother ought to do, and that is to encourage those that they have been given, those in their circle of influence, to hold tight to guard, to be committed to the truth of the Word of God. And I want to encourage you this morning. Now, somebody asked me how the convention went, and it was a good convention, but it was also a time where we could see, even in the church, there are those who are wanting to push back against the Word of God because of modern trends and modern thoughts and today's thoughts about certain things. I'm so grateful. And some of you, I think, George, you were a trustee to Southeastern. Pastor George Fountain is here today. I think he was trustee to Southeastern Seminary. And when all of our seminary presidents gave their report, each one of them, and I sat there and I thank God for those men. When they gave their reports, there were men and women who went to microphones in that convention center, some 11,000 of us that were there. And each one of them addressed those seminary presidents with some hard questions, difficult questions, because they know that in our society there are things that are happening that are contrary to the Word of God. Some were asking questions hoping to get a compromise, to hear a president of our convention say, yes, we understand that times have changed, and so we're going to change the way we do things based upon the changing of times. That was what they were hoping for. They asked hard questions about sexuality. They asked hard questions about the role of men and women in ministry. They asked all of those hard questions to our seminary presidents. And I want to report to you today that I'm so thankful that we still have those presidents of our seminaries who stood boldly and proclaimed one truth, and that is this: no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how times change, we have but one commission from God, and that is to hold true to the truth of the Word of God. And we're committed to that. We're committed to that. You ought to be thankful as a convention that there are spiritual fathers who have been entrusted to guard the Word of God, and they're determined to guard it well. Now, some of the questions that they were asked were really difficult questions because, as I said, you know, you got the gender issues, and you got this thing of the man and the woman and their roles, and some of the questions were loaded questions. You know how people take all the time that they can to write that loaded question just to try to trip somebody up. But through the wisdom and the power of God, those men stood. And they stood doing what Paul encouraged Timothy to do and what I want to encourage you to do. That is, never compromise the Word of God. Stand firm on the Word of God, but do it in faith and love. Paul stressed that to Timothy. Timothy, make sure that you hold to the truth of the Word that has been entrusted to you. God gave it to you. I was just the vessel that He passed it along through. It has been deposited into your care. Guard it well. Make sure you guard it well, hold on to it, and when you speak it in faith and in love. Now, folks, listen. There are people right here this morning. You could ask me questions about some of the things that we're facing as a generation. You would not like your pastor's answer. Matter of fact, that's why you don't ask me. And here's why. I have but one authority as a messenger from God. I have but one standard of which I must stand upon. That is the Word of God. I do not have something that's going to change over time. It's solid. It stood the test of time. I so appreciate it again. Our seminary president say, this is not the first storm we've faced. We've faced storms before. There have been attacks before. We've stood on the Word of God. We'll stand on the Word of God today. Thus saith the Word of God. Aren't you glad we've had men like Billy Graham, and this year at the convention, his name was brought up many times, who was without apology able to stand for all of those years, and he would say, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says this. The Bible says this. And yet there are those today who want pastors to change the way that they present the Word of God. There are those today who want godly teachers to stand and change the way they present the Word of God. And yet Paul says, as a spiritual father, my word of wisdom to you is this: stay committed to the Word of God. Don't change the pattern. It stood the test of time. That word form or pattern is taken from the architect's drawing. It's from an architect, a pattern. Now, many of you, if you've ever built a home, I hope you built it, but with the help of someone who sketched a design for you. You followed that, and if you strayed from that, you were going to get in big trouble because the design was drawn for you. I know this sounds old-fashioned. It's going to sound old-fashioned to teenagers. It sounds old-fashioned to many older people today. The pattern, the design that has been given to us for both our life individually, our life as a people of God, that pattern was sketched out centuries ago by the hand of God. It was given through godly men who wrote the scriptures as the Spirit of God breathed it into them, men and women who God gave the word, and that word does not change. Matt, I appreciated the song you sang earlier about the word of God. Listen, things are going to change. Matter of fact, there's a lot changing right now while you're sitting here. But I'm glad God's word never changes. My word to the younger generation is this: stand firm on the word of God. Stay committed to the word of God. Now, let me reprove in love if I can this morning. Okay? Let me encourage you. Sometimes encouragement means reproof. It saddens me to report to you today that at our convention, as we got an update about how the status of the Southern Baptist Convention of Churches, 47 plus thousand churches or something like that, we are continuing to reach a lot of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we are failing when it comes to discipling them in the Word of God. We have reached millions of people when it comes to evangelism over the last many years with the gospel, and yet the numbers of people in our churches that have been discipled, those in church attendance continues to drop drastically. Now, I want to encourage you this morning. This is hard for some of you. Some of you just do not want to get out of that bed to come and be in Bible study with other believers. Now, I wouldn't say shame on you, because this is not something someone needs to be shamed on. I'm here to encourage you. You will not be a disciple or make a disciple unless you're with others who are being discipled. I want to encourage you in that. Parents, I want to encourage parents today. I'm thankful. I am so thankful that when I came to know the Lord at the age of 15, my dad did not know the Lord. Matter of fact, I was the first son saved, two little sisters. We didn't know anything. God put spiritual people in our lives to help us. That's the only hope that we had. But dads, this morning, if you want to give something to your children that will make a lasting impact in their life, it's not money. It's not a secure plan for today. It's a secure plan for the future. It's one that's based on the Word of God. Dads, I want to encourage you. You ought to be the first one up on Sunday morning to take your children and your wife to the house of God to study the Word of God together. I'm not getting many amens, am I? Well, guess what? I love you enough to say, even though we don't do it, it's still truth. There's no wonder young ladies don't know how to be godly Christian women. It's no wonder young men don't know how to be godly Christian men. They need those who are discipling them, who are firm on the Word of God, who share it with faith, believing that it'll change another person's life, and in love. I appreciated our seminary presidents when they stood and answered hard questions with a smile on their face. Their disposition was sweet. Their spirit was calm. They didn't stand and say, "I can't believe you'd ask me that question." No, they welcomed those questions. And they responded by saying, "We cannot change our position on these matters, because this is what the Word of God says." Paul encouraged Timothy to hold to that pattern, that design that had stood for the early church, that he would use, and that we would use today, to never abandon the standard of truth, but to hold to it. There are a lot of things today that I don't understand, folks. It's confusing. I don't have the intellect to understand it. I must tell you, I don't have the intellect. I try to, in my mind, figure out why people think the way that they think and why people act the way that they act and what's happening with all that's happening, whether it be with sexuality or you just go, whatever it is. I don't have the mental capacity within myself to even know how to respond. The only hope I have is this. I believe God's word is sure and it's true. And I can point people and say, I don't understand everything, but I do know this. This is what God's word says about man and about woman. This is what God's word says about sexuality. This is what God's word says about truth. This is what God's word says about the tongue. This is what God's word says about how I'm to be living my life. This is the word of God. This is the pattern, the form that has been passed down to us. Paul, as a spiritual father, says, Timothy, stay committed to the word of God. Secondly, he moves on from there. And in verse 15, Paul starts remembering those who have deserted him, those who turned away from him. At one time, they were close to him. He mentions two, Phlegelus and Hermogenes. He mentioned those in Asia in verse 15 who had turned away from him. But then in verse 16, Paul, as he's having what we call, or I call that senior moment while he's in that prison, in that dungeon, he remembers a man by the name of Onesiphorus. And here's what he said about Onesiphorus in verse 16, 17, and 18. He says, he has refreshed me. He was not ashamed of me. He sought me out. He looked for me hard till he found me. He ministered to me. And he encourages Timothy to make sure that he remembers that there are men and women like Onesiphorus who are faithful servants of God that will encourage him as he encourages the church, as he carries that mantle, that there are those, and he needs to stay committed to men and women who are faithful servants of God. I'm going to take some personal moments today just to say to you today how much it means as a pastor. There are pastors here to know that there are faithful servants of God that sit in our pews who are committed to the men and the women of God, whether they be pastors or missionaries or wherever they're serving, who have been there to refresh them, to minister to them, to seek them out when they needed to be sought out, to be loved on and to care, be cared for. And if there's any one thing today that we're losing sight of, I said on the way back yesterday from the airport to Lucas and Tim, I'm so thankful, Pastor George, in our convention, that our leaders recognize the importance of highlighting some of those older men of the ministry who have fought a good fight, who were committed men, committed servants of God, women who were servants of God, who gave their best to ministry, whether we're in WMU or whatever. We try to highlight those because God's word tells us to never forget those who went before us, who were committed, faithful servants. Onesiphorus, Paul says, has done for me what others would not do. They walked away. And I'm so thankful. These names don't mean anything to you. Willis and Marna Easley, they mean nothing to you. But they mean a great deal to me. In the first church, to have people like Willis and Marna who refreshed us in ministry. Norman and Ruth Nestler, those names mean nothing to you. But that old deacon and his godly wife, who in my first pastorate said to me, Pastor, one thing is sure. You may not ever do things right always, but you will always have our support when it's based on the word of God. We need people around us who are faithful servants of God, who are there to refresh us, to minister to us. Most of them do it behind the scenes. You never know who they are. You would never know Marna and Willis Easley. You still won't ever know them unless I call their names. You would never know who Norman and Ruth Nestler is. You would never know them. Some of you know some of the folks. Sit down. I started pinning names this morning as I started reflecting upon people who have refreshed us in ministry in my own life and how through the Word of God, they were committed to the Word of God. And when we need them, they're there They're there to help us, to refresh us, to love on us, to open up their doors to us, to bring us into their home, not to expect anything, just to love on us. And I'm so thankful. There are many of you here. I would not dare call names, but there are many of you here who are like Onesiphorus, which means profit-bearing. He was profitable. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to try to close with this. How profitable are you to the people around you spiritually? What are you worth to them? Are you worth anything? You say, oh, I'm not worth anything. Well, if you've got the Word of God and in love and faith, that is part of your life that you're just wanting to pass on, and you're doing it to those who are walking beside you, how profitable are you to the people in your life spiritually? What do you give to them? I'm not talking about monetary or material things. I'm talking about ministering, refreshing, seeking them out. George, I'm glad you're here today. And in my tears, I'm glad I get to speak this to you. If no one else were here, thank God for you and Miss Gail. You have been profitable to me in ministry. You have been there at times when other ministers were not there, in times when others would forsake you. And it's not an accident. I didn't know George and Gail were going to be here today, but I'm glad that they're here on this day when there are Onesiphorus sitting among us. Brother Marty, I thank God for men like you and your dear wife who have been there. And you say, Pastor, you're just having an old person's moment. Call it what you will. I believe that it's time the people of God understood how important those around them are and what profit they bring to us. Now, I could start in this section and start calling names in every section. You'd get up and you would leave me if I started doing that. You wouldn't have time for that. But I'm here to tell you today, if we want to be spiritual leaders, spiritual fathers, men, mothers, if you want to be spiritual mothers to younger women in ministry, two things you can do. Never waver from the truth of the Word of God. It may not always make sense. Can I tell you, there are times when God's Word doesn't make sense to me. And yet the only counsel I have to give a couple, to give a man or a woman, is the Word of God when it makes no sense. But in the end, it always works because God's pattern and plan is good. There are times in the church when the Word of God may not make sense. I remember my first pastorate. I had a deacon say to me, Pastor, if we do that, everyone will leave. I said, then, if we don't do it, what difference does it make? We began to walk by faith with the Word of God, and people didn't leave. God brought more people. You see, people don't run from the truth of God's Word. Here's what people don't have time for today. No wonder our churches are dry. No wonder our churches are vacant. Too many men are standing in the pulpits of America today and not giving the truth of the Word of God. People who love God will be attracted to His Word whether they like it that day or don't like it that day. They know that it's food for the soul. I don't know about you, but in a little bit, I'm going to go eat. I'm persuaded most of you are too. There are some days I sit down for a meal. And I may say, I don't like this today, but guess what? My stomach is hungry, and I'll eat it anyway. I told Carrie when I got home, I said, we went to a Mexican restaurant. You guys know me. I've been around here long enough. Mexican restaurants don't serve honey buns. We went to a Mexican restaurant with my family, with my brother in Texas. And Tim just loved it. Oh, did he love it. I tried to order something that I thought would, you know, work. I said, just give me your fish. They had fish. Give me your fish. I still don't know what I ate. I'm telling you, all I know is it was not fish. But guess what? I ate it. You know why? I was hungry. Listen, people still hungry. If the Spirit of God lives in you today, there is a hunger deep in your soul for truth. You may ignore it. You may want to run from it. But deep down, there's a race that is being run. There's a battle that is being fought, and the only way to win that is to be with the Word of God and to hear the Word of God and to live the Word of God, be fed the Word of God. Listen, there are times even I wish God's Word didn't say what it said to me. Anybody else know that? Anybody know that? We deal with all these issues in the church. I have people ask me things about this and about that, and I'm saying, you know, I may not like that, just like you may not like that, but that's what God's Word says. So guess what we're going to do? We got to go by the book. We got to follow the book. And I'm here to encourage you today, church. Let's stay committed to the Word of God, okay? I'm not talking about some of those things in the Word of God that were related to a culture or a time. I'm talking about the doctrines of the Word of God that are faithful and are true. Preferences are preferences. Preferences will change. I may like blue today and red tomorrow, but if it's a conviction that's based on a doctrine of the Word of God, it will never change. It'll always be the same. We must hold true to the Word of God, but we must also remember, embrace those, and encourage those who are faithful servants of God.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.